Wednesdays around here, we do something called The Great Debate. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We take something loosely based on the news, sort of. I think this one's loosely based on the news. Anyway, let's hit the music.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay. Today's Great Debate, a fun one for you. Football related, NFL to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
Perloff, who had the greatest individual season ever? And what I'm talking about here is not statistically. I'm talking about who's the greatest one-hit wonder.
Right. Out of nowhere, one-hit wonder came and went.
Came like Halley's Comet, just a flash over the sky, brilliant, and then whatever happened to that guy?
Okay. Can I go first?
You can.
I'm going to go a little personal because I witnessed this one up close. I'm sure in the 100 and whatever years of NFL, there have been bigger flashes in the sky. But do you guys remember Josh Gordon in 2013 with the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, it was
crazy. Dude had, he didn't even play the whole season. I think he was suspended the first two games and ended up with over 1,600 yards receiving. And he had 117.6 yards per game. This was the Cleveland Browns offense that stunk. And they didn't even have plays. They just said, Josh, you run out and beat the double team, and you're going to get it. And also, the guy's background makes it even more incredible because he's been trouble in college. You know, famously fell asleep in a Taco Bell drive-thru while at Baylor. He continually got suspended. And I've never seen a guy with more talent who threw it away in the NFL. He could have been Randy Moss, but he just could not get it all together sort of with the issues of addiction and alcoholism. So Josh Gordon was unbelievable in 2013, and he played for a long time. He actually went to the Patriots, remember?
Yep.
But there was nothing like that. No season even resembled what he did that year. So for me, it's former Browns receiver Josh Gordon.
The what could have been with Josh Gordon and his talent, you're right. He was, you know, so many teams also tried to, like, rehab him and never worked.
He played, by the way, played Patriots. I didn't remember the Seattle, Kansas City, Tennessee toward the end. And never came back together.
I don't know where he is now. I hope he's gotten his life together, but I'm not sure.
I think he's had ups and downs.
Yeah. Okay, we're doing the greatest one-hit wonders in the history of the NFL. The guys who just came, all of a sudden had this great season, and then whatever happened to that guy. And for me, it's got to be a quarterback, and it's got to be Rex Grossman. Let's hear it.
Saints show the blitz. Bears pick it up, and Grossman is going to go deep. What a play! Berrien rolls in for the touchdown.
Yeah, that was the NFC Championship game. How could a guy who threw 20 interceptions be in the Super Bowl that same year? It's because Rex Grossman was just good enough in that playoff run to get the Bears to the Super Bowl. If we talk about Bears quarterbacks and how, you know, futile that history is, he threw for over 3,000 yards. That's like 6,000 yards for any other team. I mean, Rex Grossman in 2006 had this great season. Well, kinda, but goes to the Super Bowl with the Bears. They actually were in that game. They lose to Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts, and then that was it. He had one more 3,000-yard season, but it was the last season of his career in Washington in 2011. Nobody remembers it. The team was 5-8 with him as a starter, so it was a nothing season. Rex Grossman is like the answer to a trivia question. And never really had a great career.
That was a very surprising Super Bowl run.
But shocking.
He was there for the Super Bowl.
He was there.
And even the Super Bowl, like, as I recall, that game was close because Devin Hester returned a touchdown. I don't really remember what he did in that game.
Threw picks.
Oh, yeah.
I think he had three interceptions in that
game. So, yeah, I mean, he threw a really catchable ball. You just didn't know which team was going to catch it.
Very good.
How many interceptions did he have? Did you say 20?
20 on the season. 23 Ooh. Touchdowns, 20 picks.
Oof.
Very Jameis Winston line. But no, flash in the pan, one-hit wonder, Rex Grossman. That's our great debate today, one-hit wonders. Nico, go ahead.
All right, we'll go with a guy that had a good college career and his NFL career started off well, but it didn't go well after this 1 year. How about Tim Tebow with the Denver Broncos? Yes.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him.
It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him free to the 30, to the 20. Thomas
It's kind of crazy how that play happens. Denver obviously wins that game. They get killed against New England the next week. And then that season and beyond, that was it from Tim Tebow. Awful. Went was with the Broncos for, I think, another year. Then went to the Jets. They tried to make him a tight end at one point. It was just an entire disaster for him. But that one play, I always remember him beating the Steelers.
No doubt. And rest in peace, Demaryius Thomas. And I think you and I were both at that New England game the next week for SI.
Not close.
Tom Brady set more records before halftime of that game. It was like a constant stream in the press box. Like, Tom Brady now becomes the first ever in NFL history to score 1,000 points before halftime.
I'm a little jealous of Nico's pick. When we do Great Debate, we put up a poll. Tim Tebow is going to blow everyone away.
But it's a great pick, but like, he's too famous to be a one-hit wonder.
But he still wins the poll.
Yeah,
you're
going to
get
too.
That dopamine hit of getting 73% in the poll.
Nico,
so congrats on that in advance.
Nick, who's your pick?
All right, so I was going to go with Tim Tebow, but since it was taken, here's mine.
Manning works out of the shotgun. He takes it. Facing pressure. He's in trouble. He's spun around. He's able to get away. Looks to throw. He does. Downfield. And a leaping catch is made down at the 25. What a play. David Tyree comes up with the ball. What a play by Eli Manning.
It was a tremendous play by Eli Manning as he got out of the grasp of the New England Patriots. I thought Mike Carey was going to blow the whistle, but he didn't. But what a play by Tyree as he goes up over Rodney Harrison and comes down with the ball. It's going to be a first down timeout with the New York Giants.
So as you hear there, Marv Albert, Boomer Esiason, I'm Westwood One. And to me, it pretty much seems that David Tyree just showed up that one game.
That was like the greatest one-hit wonder play. I don't even think people knew he was on the roster in that game.
Yeah, are we doing season, game, play? Like, this is very, like, moment?
One-hit wonder.
Yeah, it does fit, but I was thinking more, like, what was David Tyree's season? How many catches did he have that year?
I don't even remember any of that. All I remember is that
I just looked it up. Four. And he never had... That was his last catch, right, famously?
I think he just rode off into the sunset after that.
Well, not on his... He was ridden off into the sunset.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Never had enough,
but remembered very well.
Yeah, anyone on here, he had the least amount of snaps after that. He never had another catch in his NFL career. That's a good way to go out.
You're right. I'm sorry to step on you. Was he at the Giants... 100 anniversary thing over the weekend?
I doubt it, but
he earned it. I mean, that was the biggest play my lifetime.
Doesn't that crack you into the top 100?
Yes.
I think it would. EJ,
only the top 100, maybe.
Well, I think so. That should get you. You should be 99.
It's incredible. With honorable mention.
What's crazy is he also had a touchdown earlier in that game too.
He showed up in that game.
He played 5 seasons where the Giants had 54 catches. That's 11 catches per season.
He did it when it mattered, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, EJ, we're doing the greatest one-hit wonders in the NFL for our great debate today. Who do you have?
All right, so before Brock Purdy shocked the world by becoming a seventh-round pick that took the league by storm, let's go to another seventh-round pick who was the third-string running back on his college team because he was playing behind Darren McFadden and Felix Jones in Arkansas. I'm going to go with Peyton Hillis, a running back, Cleveland Browns, who all of a sudden came out of nowhere and started trucking people on plays like this.
Second and 6. Give it to him again.
Wow.
Running room in the edge. Peyton Hillis is loose. Sprint to the end zone. Touchdown.
I mean, when you talk about unlikely stars in the NFL, Peyton Hillis certainly comes into that picture. Again, this guy was essentially a 7th-round pick. Nobody really even saw him play much in college. He was almost more of a fullback. Goes to the Browns, runs for 1,100 yards, becomes the cover of Madden thanks to a fan vote, and then never runs for 1,000 yards again and is essentially back to being a backup and a journeyman for the rest of his career. Peyton Hillis actually recently came into the news last year because he heroically saved his son and his niece from drowning. So people were like, oh, wait, I remember Peyton Hillis. He was a guy on Madden, and he was this great running back for the Browns for one random year where they were still terrible. And then that was kind of the last we had heard of him. Peyton Hillis, he was really good that year, too. He was like a baby Mike Allstott. I mean, he was just running over people. But that was really the only season we had from him in terms of being a star. So I'm going with Peyton Hillis for my pick for best NFL one-hit wonder.
Pretty predictable, EJ. You go Peyton Hillis, Mike Allstott comp. Come on, you're better than that.
No, you watch those clips? Come on, bro.
I'm just kidding.
Kaplan is in our chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, by the way, if you'd like to watch Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. You knew EJ was going with the Madden guy.
Yeah,
according
to
Kaplan.
Of course.
And now Kaplan has a prediction, if you will, on who Bogusch is going to be forced to take because you are going last.
First of all, I am not forced to take anybody. I am happily making my selection. So he's wrong on that front.
Okay.
Maybe he's got the right person, but this was my choice. It was free to make because no one else picked him. The year's 1988. The Cincinnati Bengals had a rookie running back, 1,066 yards, 15 touchdowns, en route to a Super Bowl appearance and a dance craze that swept the nation.
I would probably describe the Icky Shuffle as a cross between the Hokey Pokey, the Macarena, and the Humpty Dance. And I don't know where he came up with it. I don't know what he was drinking the day he came up with it. But it was a sensation throughout the 1988 season.
How about that crossover? Mm-hmm. That's our good buddy Boomer Esiason.
Second appearance.
From God knows when on NFL Network. Perfectly describing which... In watching videos again this morning, I forgot how bad of a dance it actually was.
Well, Maggie was just dancing. She wasn't doing the Icky Shuffle. She was just doing a random dance.
Yeah,
if you're going to hit that Icky Shuffle thing, you got to do the Icky Shuffle.
Icky Woods, great running back for 1 year, can't dance. And that was it. 1 year, 1988. He only played in 21 other NFL games over three seasons because of knee issues. Ran for only 400 more yards after one huge 1988 season.
You thought Icky Woods was a bad dancer?
Yeah, there's not a lot of...
It's like a TikTok dance, though.
Yeah, but it's like, when you watch him do it, there's no soul, there's no nothing in that dance. It's just like a little shimmy left and right. That's it.
Remember the commercial where he's in the grocery store?
Yeah.
Oh, they brought him back, years later.
Yeah, that's a good one. That might win the poll, too.
There you go. Great debate today. The greatest one-hit wonders, for the record. Kaplan thought you were going to go with Nick Foles.
Nick Foles,
which is one hit. The year where he had 27 touchdowns and two picks.
I think probably the year he beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, again,
he didn't do the whole season, though. He didn't
start like, I think we need to do, like, Bogusch did the season. I feel like Nick cheated with David Tyree.
Now
Maggie on YouTube
is going to see doing
a little Icky Shuffle.
Okay, your options for what we have for you, Josh Gordon, Rex Grossman, Tim Tebow, David Tyree, Peyton Hillis, Icky Woods. Kaplan also suggesting RG3.
Mm.
Is RG3 a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, but that's weird because the franchise ruined him by making him play on that turf. Feels unfair to put RG3, like, because RG3 was so good.
Yeah, but he might qualify. I thought his second season was not, before he got hurt, I wasn't sure if he had enough in that second season to make him more than just a one-hit wonder.
Right. But I feel like he had the talent to be more. He just had devastating injuries. Like, Bo Jackson was not a one-hit wonder. He just got hurt.
Right. Yeah.
But I hear you.
Back-to-back 3,000-yard seasons passing. But, yeah. Okay. 855-212-4227. Already see you guys on the phones. John is in Western New York. John, who's the greatest NFL one-hit wonder?
It's going to sound weird from a Steelers fan, but I got to believe it's Dwayne Thomas. 1970 season, led the Cowboys in rushing and led them to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He only had 1 year, that guy? I mean, he's pretty famous.
Yeah, he held out for money.
Is he the one who said that God watches the Cowboys, or am I mixing up that lore?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Is he the guy who said that they have a hole in the roof in Irving because God watches the Cowboys? He was a character. I know NFL Films does a lot on him.
I know at the time he was one of those running backs that didn't want to talk an awful lot.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He got traded off someplace. So at any rate, that's all I have. Well, I have other things about the Steeler quarterback problem, but we'll save that for another day.
John, that one's not going anywhere. Hold that one. Keep it. Save it. Because the Steelers quarterback situation is going to be a story all season.
Sorry, I screwed up. It was Dede Lewis who said Texas Stadium has a hole in its roof so God can watch his favorite team play. It's one of the great lines in sports history.
Also, quote, D's in Portland. D, the greatest NFL one-hit wonder is who?
Fortunately, my Eagles, Carson Wentz. If he doesn't get hurt, does he make the Super Bowl? Does he win it? Then do we repeat the next year and just keep going? That's the one-hit.
does he still have a career if he doesn't get hurt? If he wins the Super Bowl, which I don't know if he was going to do, but he was obviously having a great season. Is he not like he's not a pariah. He's just like he's off the radar.
He's 31. Are we sure he's done? Probably.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah. I mean, he did lead him to the playoffs by beating your Giants over there in Week 17.
Carson Wentz is not a bad one.
Not UD. Well, nah, but he had how many Pro Bowls does he have?
I don't know off the top of my head. That'd be a you question.
Yeah. I feel like if you have two Pro Bowls, you can't be a one-hit wonder. But, Carson Wentz definitely is in the spirit of this. I agree with that.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you,
as always. Thank you, D. Appreciate you. See you guys on the phones. Get to more of your NFL one-hit wonders, and we'll throw the tweet for you up on X. You can respond to that.
Sorry, Wentz only has one Pro Bowl. Yeah.
All right.
Not bad.
That's why I didn't do Cam Newton, because he had three Pro Bowls, because I was going to do his 2015 MVP season.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He wouldn't fit.
Yeah, Cam was a factor for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think of him as just having one great season. One great college season.
He had a great rookie season, too. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but he had a few good years.
Okay, keep them coming. NFL one-hit wonders. Who's your pick? It's Maggie and Perloff. We're back after this. All right, Perloff. This is the one thing that has become the obsession of our show. I tell you, it's 90% of the conversation that Perloff and I have off the air is all about Prize Picks. So let's bring it on the air, because it's the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. Season-long fantasy takes way too much time. So Prize Picks, you can get a new lineup every day. And what we love about this, and I'll speak for you for a second, love how the app is easy to use. Love how you can... basically, you pick an athlete and you have a more or less. It's so simple, and I love going head-to-head against you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not simple to pick right, because apparently Shohei Ohtani forgot how to hit last night. But on Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect and all the withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, but Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. If one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. Some of the many ways Prize Picks puts its member first. Love it. I am going to get hot, Maggie, any day now.
I know. I feel like a streak's coming for me, though. But again, you and I love this, and we are in every day on a new Prize Picks. All you got to do is just download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNDP, M-A-N-D-P, mm-hmm. Maggie and Perloff. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNDP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back. Got a good one for you today. Great debate is what we do on Wednesdays. Today we're asking, who is the greatest one-hit wonder in the NFL? Someone who just came, had an amazing season, or maybe play, and then really fell off after that. I'll go quickly around the horn, because we already did this, everyone on the show. Who they picked. Perloff went with Josh Gordon. I went with Rex Grossman. Nico went with Tim Tebow. Nick went with David Tyree. EJ went with Peyton Hillis. And Bogish went with Icky Woods. You are welcome to weigh in. And then Kaplan went with RG3. Will's in California. Will, who did we forget? Who's the greatest NFL one-hit wonder?
All right. Thanks for taking my call again. By the way, push Perloff off of that Buffalo hay wagon, okay?
He's not welcome.
Wait. Will, it's just somebody's got to say nice things about the Bills, because Maggie's afraid if she praises her own team that they will fall apart on the spot. That's my only... Yeah. I'm not on the Bills bandwagon. It's just somebody should be realistic that it's a good team.
No, I say Josh Allen's a great quarterback, and people are like, you homer.
okay. Right. Is that what it's going on?
Yeah. We all need a little reinforcement from time to time. I got a picture. I'm going to go with Malcolm Butler of the Patriots.
That's not a bad one.
And then the next Super Bowl he's in, Belichick wouldn't even put him in the game.
I know, inactive for the game. Still one of the mysteries of what actually happened with Belichick. You know, Will, it's a great one. Thank you for weighing in. Now that Belichick has 1,000 jobs in the media, do you think we actually get the story of why Malcolm Butler did not play against your Philadelphia Eagles, bro?
Yeah, I think Belichick's taken it to the grave.
And, like, even Malcolm Butler's kind of hinted at some stuff, but not really.
It's one of the still most bizarre things. I think we know more about Deflategate and Spygate and everything else that happened around the Patriots and obviously Aaron Hernandez. The Malcolm Butler thing never, ever resolved. I mean, I want to hear definitively that Deflator actually was the guy deflating the footballs.
Yeah, we're never seeing that guy again.
Yeah, yeah. The Patriots can bury things. I don't think we ever get it because why wouldn't we have gotten it by now?
Can I also have another Belichick point, and you guys can tell me if you think the same? Are we doing this wrong with Brady and Belichick in terms of their media roles? Maybe Belichick should be in the booth calling games and Brady should be in the studio doing McAfee, doing some of the other things, because Brady's doesn't sound very comfortable in the booth, where I think Belichick would be very comfortable not only like criticizing people, but explaining what you're seeing on every play. And I think Brady would be better off maybe in sound bites. Maybe he's a little bit better, you know, doing like Dan Patrick, your former boss, Perloff, and the ultimate. He had a great take where he said Brady's so used to people asking him questions and he answers them his whole life, not just jumping in and giving analysis. In fact, he's tried to do the opposite. So this is like goes counter to what he's done over the last 20 years.
I think Belichick would be a little boring. Even in the Manning cast, I flipped over and they were breaking down a lot of coverages and stuff. God, that'd be tough for 3 hours.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't have the energy.
Yeah, I also other coaches have been kind of bad in that role. Like John Fox was the worst ever, and he's a smart football guy.
Yeah, Bruce Arians wasn't that good either, and you would expect it to get a little dry. Yeah, I guess so. But I don't know. I think they're both in the wrong role, maybe. Greatest NFL one-hit wonder is the great debate today. Mike's in Syracuse. Mike, who are we forgetting?
2007 Cleveland Browns. They had a wide receiver named Braylon Edwards, who was off the charts, and then he went into the witness protection program.
Well, yeah, but he was a star, though. Well, I mean, it wasn't a number five overall pick or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, you say a wide receiver named Braylon Edwards. Like, most football fans know his name.
We remember Braylon Edwards. Let's see. So he did make the Pro Bowl in 2007. He had almost 1,300 yards receiving. The next season, 873 yards, despite playing all 16 games. Had another season with the Jets in 2010 where they went go to the AFC Championship game. He had 900 yards receiving.
Not bad.
That was more of a ground and pound game.
Look at how many times he actually found pay dirt.
Touchdown, 16 in 2007. Wow.
And then, like, maybe 16 for the rest of his career.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I mean, it's something like that. Mike, it's not a bad one. Thank you. And we definitely remember Braylon Edwards. He was EJ, in the media for a while.
EJ, you want to weigh in on Braylon Edwards? I know a guy you probably liked.
Yeah, I'm dismissing. I love Mike Great. I love that he called in. I'm dismissing this pick. Braylon Edwards was a good Jet. Yes, he was a bust for the Giants. For the Browns, because he started dropping the ball as soon as he had that amazing 16 season touchdown season. I get that. But for the Jets, they weren't really a passing team.
Yeah.
But he was still getting 800, 900 yards. He made some big catches in some of these games. He had a touchdown in the AFC Championship game against the Colts. Like, I respectfully, as a Jets fan, feel like he was a good Jet. I can't say he was a one-hit wonder.
He's
not. Great player for the Browns, but he was good on the Jets.
Yeah, you really have to go away. It's not just not like, oh, I didn't like re-reach this high peak. You got to disappear. And Braylon Edwards didn't disappear, and he was also good before the one huge season in 2007.
I don't know. I'm a little bit with the caller. Being a Jets receiver, it's like going to like Canadian Football League or USFL or something.
Come
it's
on.
Kind of like a spring league.
EJ, don't league take role. The bait, yeah. EJ.
He wasn't the number one receiver on that team either. They had Santonio Holmes.
EJ's level, that's a one-hit wonder. I mean, that Super Bowl, he was terrible with the Jets. But that being said, like the excitement that EJ has talking about Braylon Edwards' Jets career is, I mean, come on.
He was a good Jet.
Come Those on. Were
I
good
mean,
Jets.
Come on. They were good teams, and he was a good, solid Jet. He wasn't a superstar, but he was solid.
Josh is in Philadelphia. Josh, the greatest NFL one-hit wonder was who?
I'm not sure if he would go on this list, but I would say Ryan Leaf. I mean, I thought that he had a really promising career and then kind of just fell off because of personal issues. I was wondering what you think of that.
He had a great rookie season, preseason. I'm not sure he ever had that hit in the NFL. I mean, he would tell. We're both friends with Ryan, and I'm not sure he had his one hit necessarily. And you're right, though. He had all the talent in the world. Has talked about many times how he blew it, but I'm not sure he had his NFL one hit.
So just looking at the numbers, Josh, thanks. It's an outside-the-box pick, so thank you for making it. So Ryan never had more than 1,800 yards passing in a career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. So, and he's 4-17 as a quarterback, as I think number two overall pick. So yeah, it never really got off the ground with Ryan.
He has a podcast called Bust. I mean, he is well aware. His label is quote unquote Bust. And he's fortunately taken that and turned it into a positive thing and tried to be inspirational off of it. But I don't put him in the one hit wonder category. It's different.
Mark's in Pennsylvania. Mark, the greatest NFL one hit wonder. Who you got?
Well, the 91 Redskins with Mark Rippon. I don't remember him ever doing anything after that.
You know, Mark Rippon, that's an interesting one.
That was one of the greatest offenses I've ever seen. And I'm 44 years old, and I mean, that 91 Redskins team was just unstoppable.
They did that with quarterbacks, right? They won with three different ones. Theismann, Doug.
Shannon's, Art Monk. I mean, he just threw the ball up.
Yeah, but I feel like that was a Joe Gibbs thing, not a Mark Rippon thing. Because he did. Jay Schrader was awesome there. That was my era, the 90s. Washington, I saw the whoop on my Eagles.
Before that, I get that. I guess Doug Williams would be a one-hit wonder. I mean,
Mark, thank you for the call, and it's given us something to think about. So Mark Rippon was a two-time Pro Bowler, and, you know, back in this day when throwing for 3,000 yards was like throwing for 4,000 now, he had several 3,000-yard seasons. Obviously hit the high watermark with the Super Bowl win, and then after that, he actually did follow it up with another 3,000-yard season the next year.
He was,
and they went 9-7.
This was a Joe Gibbs thing. He would put anybody at quarterback and just dominate. He was such an underrated coach.
But we don't talk about him as the greatest coach of all time.
But inside the NFL, it's said, and other coaches are on TV talking about him, they're reverential.
Do you think that it's because Gibbs came back and it wasn't?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that hurt him.
I always defend Joe Gibbs' return, because I know, like, it was not great, but he did have a 10-win season, and it was the Dan Snyder Washington football team.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he wasn't great. I'm not gonna say he was great, but like he took over a disastrous situation. He did get them the 10 wins one season. His last season they were 9-7. He didn't get them the Super Bowl glory, but when you look at what the Washington football coaches under Dan Snyder, he might still be the best, which is insane.
Shanahan was there with Snyder too.
It was unfortunate he couldn't have the same glory, but I always defend Joe Gibbs' second role in Washington. Not as bad as people remember.
And also, too, he's also known as a NASCAR owner as well.
That's
kind
true.
Of waters down. Not a good NASCAR owner. I'm saying it's not a negative. His personality is, I'm not going to say he's just better than
Belichick.
He's a little quiet.
We're talking about personality for personality. Joe Gibbs is basically out there tap dancing compared to Bill.
I don't know. Have you ever seen a fun-loving Joe Gibbs on TV?
Well, no football coach is fun-loving.
Well, I'm Parcells' big personality. Joe Gibbs very kind of quiet.
I agree.
I mean, would you ever hear from Joe Gibbs? Not really.
Bogish has headlines for us this morning. And keep them coming, by the way. The greatest one-hit wonders in the NFL. I don't know if there's a coach that falls under this category. We have more of the opposite way. Coaches who came were terrible, and we never heard from them again.
Got to be a guy. There's got to be a guy who had like a 12-4 season and then disappeared. We'll dive into the record book.
Right. Ooh, that's a good one.
Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code M&P to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Here's the good news for the Dodgers. Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the mound last night for the first time since June 16th because of a rotator cuff strain. 4 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, and 8 Ks. Max Muncy liked what he saw.
We've been missing him, so it was nice to see him come back. And, you know, his stuff looked really sharp. His velo was there, the execution was there, so that was good to see. We just got to get his pitch count built back up, and, that's going to be really huge for us.
So that's how the game started. It ended with Muncy at the plate, a man on, and the Dodgers down 3.
Here comes the 3-2 pitch. Swinging a high fly ball, deep right center field. Back is Cole Armstrong near the fence, leaping up. He made the catch. He took a home run away from Max Muncy, and the Cubs win the ball game. Pete Crow Armstrong with a dazzling display of defense tonight.
That's Pat Hughes on Cubs Radio. Pete Crow Armstrong making three sick catches in this game. That one, a game-ending home run robbery. The Cubs, a 6-3 W. The Padres were 7-3 winners in Seattle, pulling within 4.5 games of those Dodgers in the NL West. Here's an odd story from the NFL. A Houston judge has ordered Adrian Peterson to turn over personal assets to help pay a $12.3 million debt. This all started with a $5.2 million business loan from 2016. Peterson's camp says a business partner promised Peterson the company would eventually repay him, but it never did. Peterson was the loan guarantor of the loan, so he's the only one stuck here having to pay it back. That's at least their story.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Adrian Peterson, I had enough of Adrian Peterson after that horrible story about what he did with his kid and hitting him. It was awful. But in this instance, this is like something that happens so often, I think, with athletes. And I do feel a little bad for him on this one. If the story is correct and how he's telling it is that basically he put up the money. He was supposed to get paid out back. The business went belly up and now he's stuck holding on to it. Now, they're saying that he's tried to like evade this and get out of it. I'm just wondering, like, what are the assets that he's going to give back? What do you think he could have that could
memorabilia?
Equal
you mean like
$12 million? Well, I was wondering about that.
MVP. I don't know. Yeah, what I mean, you
the
get
story
for MVP.
Says he has items of value, so I don't know.
Like a pinball machine. Like what is in there?
I mean, and
jewelry maybe.
I would think like used cleats and things. When you say items, that's what jumped to my mind. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, you need a lot of those things to even take a dent out of $12.3 million.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Maybe necklaces and watches and stuff like that he might have.
Yeah, jewelry.
Yeah. Is he still trying to make a comeback? By the way,
he is now.
Right. Gosh.
May have a choice, yeah.
Mike Tomlin said yesterday the Steelers are preparing Justin Fields to start again this weekend, but Russell Wilson's calf is feeling better than last weekend when he did not play in Atlanta. The New York Liberty are the second fastest in WNBA history to 30 wins, getting there in game 36, a 105-91 win in Dallas. Brianna Stewart scored 27 last night. The Aces won 30 in 35 games a year ago, and U.S. men's soccer played to a disappointing 1-1 draw with New Zealand in a friendly in Cincinnati last night. But the big news is the final official announcement that Maurizio Pochettino is its new head coach. The former PSG, Chelsea, and Tottenham boss will debut against Panama next month in Dallas. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Coming up, keep them coming. Our great debate today, the greatest NFL one-hit wonders of all time. We see you guys on the phones. We want to hear what you have to say. We also have a situation in Pittsburgh. We'll get to that next. Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate. Kind of base it loosely on off the news, but I don't think this one's off the news. Anyway, it's been a lot of fun. We're asking who is the greatest NFL one-hit wonder? The guy who's just sort of either came out of nowhere or just had a great season, and then we really just never heard from them again. For like a Halley's Comet kind of thing. Just streaking across the sky. Wow, what a star. And then crickets.
Yeah. Now, did anyone do the research that we assigned at the last segment? Find a one-hit wonder coach.
It's hard.
Is there not an easy one?
Still looking. Welcome to Wayne. And let's go to John, who's in Oregon. John, the NFL's greatest one-hit wonder is who?
I'm going to say 19, I think it's 87 or 88, Timmy Smith. He set the Super Bowl record for rushing record with a rookie, and you never heard of him again.
Yep. That's a great one.
That's a great one. John, thank you. I'm just trying to think here. What other teams did he play for?
Timmy Smith? I don't think none, right?
I don't play for anybody. I just know,
224 like or something?
Sorry, go ahead.
I just know I was like 12, between 12 and 14, and I was a Marcus Allen fan at the time, and he crushed Marcus Allen's record. And I was like, man, who's this guy? And I thought he would be somebody, but he wasn't nobody ever.
You know what's funny? So he actually played for the Chargers and then Cowboys, then Baltimore Stallions of the CFL. That's a great pick. If your dude ends up in the CFL, John, you might be the winner of this game. Who is the greatest one-hit wonder? Michael is in California. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how about George Seifert for coach?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I mean,
George Seifert, same thing with Barry Switzer.
Yeah, he just won with somebody else's team, though.
But
is it different?
That's a good one, Michael. What's George Seifert's career record? No, I love it. Thank you for weighing in and appreciate that.
Well, I think Seifert was a coach when Steve Young and
Of course.
94. So I think he won two. So immediately disqualifies him.
But
also, too, he didn't even deserve any of those. So I'm not giving him credit as a one-hit wonder because it was Bill Walsh's team.
I know. But again, and I think Switzer might be the better one there because...
Yeah, but that's like saying that
Switzer... That was like the end of the dynasty.
Yeah, but he really wasn't a hit.
For the Dallas Cowboys. He wasn't a hit? I mean, he was a great college coach.
He was an all-time college coach, but he kind of sunk the Cowboys in a sense.
Well, a lot of things sunk the Cowboys.
Yeah, a lot of things. But it wasn't... I don't think he gets credit for that Super Bowl. So it's weird to call him like... Timmy Smith gets credit for running for over 200 yards.
Right.
You don't give... Nobody calls Barry Switzer a one-hit wonder. Also, he's a Hall of Famer in another team.
EJ, were you going to say Barry Switzer? Oh, we got to put EJ's mic up.
Yep.
Sorry, that's me. I have my mic.
Yeah, Nick, you're off the hook.
So, no, I just feel like, first of all, I think Seifert, I mean, he had like, 114 career
he's
wins?
114 and 62. I think he's too good to be on this list. And the two Super Bowls.
Good.
Yeah.
How about Doug Peterson, by the way?
Well, Doug could be a living one. We could be watching a one-hit wonder in the making.
Well, some of the guys I found, first of all, Cap, I think, had maybe the best one. He had Brian Callahan in the chat, which is, you know.
Brian Callahan's dad, Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan.
The Raiders.
Yeah, who won Super Bowl. They got crushed by the Buccaneers. And then, like, they famously said he had the dumbest team in America, I think, the next year. And they were, because he never had another head coaching job. But I thought about Mangenius. With the Jets, you know, remember people thought he was going to revolutionize football and never went back to the playoffs. I thought about Ben McAdoo, with the Giants.
Great
season.
Yeah,
and two wins the next year.
Did nothing.
Well, they made the playoffs.
They won 11 games.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, come on.
Famous boat trip, and all of a sudden he was out of the job.
Year.
Also, he had the opposite of Eberflus, where Eberflus changed his hair. And had this sort of glow up, and everyone's like, "Oh, maybe we're all wrong about Eberflus." Where Ben McAdoo came in the second year, first year he looks like a schlub. Second year he comes in with the Pat Riley slick back hair, and it made it worse for him. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah, the glow up actually ended up being the worst thing for him.
Yeah, right. And everyone's like, "Who does this guy think he is?"
And do you guys remember Josh McDaniels started his career like 6-0 with the Denver Broncos? Now, does a one-hit wonder count if you don't actually? Like finish the season strong. I mean, again, he was another guy people thought like was about to like take over the league, and then I think they maybe won 2-3 games the rest of the way.
Yeah,
those are some of the names I thought about. But I thought the Bill Callahan pick from Cap was particularly a good one.
Shout out Kaplan. You can watch us on YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray.
I mean, the other thing too is Callahan's had a long career since then, but he hasn't been. I mean, he was head coach of Nebraska, obviously. But
yeah, but not in the NFL.
That was another disaster.
Yeah, well, is that his fault or Nebraska's fault? Because every other coach around him was bad, too.
Let's go to Brian. He's in Kansas. Brian, who is the greatest NFL one-hit wonder?
Well, I actually have possibly two. But if they play, if they still play other years, but just have one great year. So there's a receiver for the Carolina Panthers, Musi Muhammad.
He had a lot of years.
Yeah. He did play a lot of years, but Steve Smith was the stud down there. But Muhammad, absolutely, one year just went off and had tons of touchdowns and then never really did anything after that.
All right, I'm looking it up here. He led the NFL in 2004 with 16 touchdowns. He was all-pro and Pro Bowler. He never had even double-digit touchdowns any other year.
Yes, and so I would consider, I mean, I know he played in the – I know he was like the second receiver down there for a long time, but really to go off like that in one year and never really kind of like the Braylon Edwards that you guys were talking about earlier. But I don't know. And I also thought that fullback for Cleveland,
Peyton Hillis.
Willis?
Yeah, that was EJ's pick.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I must have missed that. But
okay.
I thought he had one great year and then never really did anything after that either. So.
And made the cover of Madden because it was a fan vote, and Peyton Hillis gets on the cover. Brian, thanks for a couple of good ones. I did a show with Bart Scott a long time ago. He said Peyton Hillis was the hardest guy to tackle. I'm like, what? Peyton Hillis? He said, Don't sleep on Peyton Hillis. Now, the only thing about Mohsin Mohamed, he also led the league 4 years earlier in receptions.
Yeah, I know. He was, I think, second all-time as a Panthers receiver. He had a long, good career. He's the man, too. I don't know if you've ever been around
him.
No,
I haven't.
Coolest guy in the NFL.
There was one that I wanted to pick out, but I went back and looked, and he actually had multiple thousand-yard receiving. But I wanted to go with Stevie Johnson from my Bills. He was like a flash in the pan. He had the Joker thing that he would wear under his shirt. Why so serious? He gave Darrell Revis like so many fits, but I didn't think he qualified because he had a couple good seasons. Kevin is our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, who's the greatest?
How you doing?
What's up?
How you doing? I'm old school. And how about Vince Ferragamo from the Rams?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a high-profile one-hit wonder. I think one of the most famous Super Bowls ever.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like that one. He was had a little Jimmy G to him because he was considered better looking than he was a player. Back in the 70s.
Well, it's funny.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I remember he took the place of Pat Hayden, and then after Pat Hayden, he took over and went to the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Steelers. Then he went to the Canadian League.
Again, we said if you ended in the Canadian League, although I think didn't Ferragamo start in the Canadian League, or did he end there?
I think so. I think he started.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, if the Canadian Football League makes it onto your resume, Kevin, it's a great one. You definitely qualify for a one-hit wonder. This has been some awesome ones.
How about, I'm curious to look at the numbers. You know who, a coach, how about Brian Billick in the sense that, and the reason I say that is they keep running the 30 for 30 on the 2000 Ravens. What did he do after that? Did he have a good year again?
I'd have to look at...
Yeah, I feel like he had a one-hit wonder, says to him.
I don't know if they ever got back to... Did they ever get back to another AFC Championship game? He's 80-64 in his career. So they won the Super Bowl. The next year, they went 10-6.
Yeah.
Stand by. More painful memories for our Giants fans.
I guess he stuck around for 6 years. So, yeah, but generally... I'm trying to think. I think to be a one-hit wonder coach, you have to win a Super Bowl. That's going to be my ruling here.
So the next year after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, they made it to the divisional round. So that's not bad. Daryl is in California. Hey, Daryl, who's the NFL's greatest one-hit wonder?
I got to go in my own backyard and think about my Dallas Cowboys and say Quincy Carter.
That's a great one.
They played 31 games, you know, over 5,000 yards passing. Never won a playoff game, and I ended up out of the game battling drugs and alcohol. So I would definitely say Quincy is in the running for that.
Quincy Carter's a good one. The 2003 season, the high watermark, Daryl, thank you so much. Not quite 5,000 yards, but yeah.
Did he have a hit?
Well, 10-6 in 2003. 3,300 yards passing, 17 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. That's a tough stat line. But I picked Rex Grossman, who had 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, but led his team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the point, though, that the caller's making, which is a good one, is that is a case where you really didn't hear from him again.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess if you make the playoffs, you qualify. I just remember he was so promising. And I don't know, is there another category for guys who don't deliver on their promise?
Yeah, that's a different great debate.
Bust isn't the word, but like, I saw Quincy. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be a star and just couldn't keep it together. Kevin's exactly right.
Yeah, it's like a failure to launch kind of thing, more than a one-hit wonder type of thing. But anyway, keep them coming because these are great ones. You guys have been awesome with this.
Yeah, that's why I don't. It's funny, RG3 does not feel like a one-hit wonder, but the stats say he is a one-hit wonder. But still, he came, won the Heisman, was Rookie of the Year, and then just got hurt. Does that make you a one-hit wonder?
So I don't know.
It's a different category.
Different category. So Kaplan with a couple more coaches. Chip Kelly on the Eagles. Now, didn't Chip Kelly have back-to-back 10-win seasons, or just one 10-win season, Pearl?
I have no idea, but I don't remember, but he was not good. That team was not threatening in the postseason.
Kaplan also saying Gary Kubiak won a Super Bowl, never made the playoffs again.
Yeah, but Kubiak's a legend. I mean,
they're still running his offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all,
his offense, but
health reasons.
True. Yeah. Guy basically had his, like, a heart issue on the sideline. Yeah. It was really, really scary. Iggy in the chat says Alden Smith. Got a good ones, guys. Again, 855-212-4227. Brian Bosworth. Oh, keep him coming.